CIA and everybody else know about, but our work is not secret. Otherwise, I wouldn't come up here and say we were planning it. If an organization is good and it is Christian, then why must it be secret? Why must it not only be secret to the outsiders, but it must be secret between the levels of its own members, aren't to know what the other members are doing in higher levels? Now, I read last night from the highest Mason books in here that proclaim Jesus Christ, the God of evil, and Lucifer, the God of good, and they that proclaim the Masonic religion, a Luciferian belief, the Masonic religion, a Luciferian doctrine, by Mason's own mouths in their own books, that proclaim to be a 33rd degree Mason, not an honorary, but the initiate 33rd degree, you must commit human sacrifice. Now that is what the Shriners and the Easter Star and Job's Daughters and everything else did. Now, I gave symbols last night. You can go to Frisco, you can go to any church that is a functioning satanic church, and the emblem of the Satanist church is in the broken cross back there. There's an upside down star with 2 points symbolizing the horned god or the goat or Satan. This was created before the Masons ever existed, and this is their emblem. Their initiation rites are identical to those that I practice in witchcraft. Their secret ceremonial rites that we have seen in books are those identical to that I practice in witchcraft. Now, if you do the same thing a witch does, if you say the same thing a witch does, if your emblems are the same thing that a witch wears, tell me what the difference is. Give me a difference. Who is the Antichrist? I think we've covered that. How can you tell if a person is a witch? Well, since the Christians insist on living like witches and wearing the same jewelry and playing the same music, you'll have to look in their eyes. But then since Christians do the same things, oftentimes you get the same look in their eyes because they got the same demon. Since the look in the eyes is simply the demon. So I don't think there's much to do about it anymore. But what? By what procedure will the 666 card be distributed? By mail? How can you refuse mail? I know I do a pretty good job of it. I mean, when you get a package and there's no return address and it's a little bulky and lumpy and it ticks. Well, we've gotten a few of those. Bathtub gets filled with water real quick. I don't know how it's going to be distributed. They haven't said. I can only give you what. It's funny. I know all about these things. Nobody else hears them on the news. I don't know what's wrong with these people. Oh, I know what's wrong. Everybody's watching Laverne and Shirley. They never pay attention to the news. Now, I know that you lied to a lot on the news, but if you pay attention, you can hear enough to know what's happening. I'll tell you something. If you doubt anything I say, and if you don't believe that the end times are close and the rapture is around the corner and all these things are going to happen, I used to say 165, but I found out they just jacked the price. If you have 179 spare dollars, you should give to the retreat. You can go down to Radio Shack and you can buy a shortwave receiver. Not one of these multi-band things that don't pick up anything, but this thing will pick up broadcasts anywhere in the world. And when you hear the man that's the head of the Baptist Church in Poland, that's the church the government sanctioned. That's not the real Christian church. Stand up and say, Mr. President Carter, we as Christians in Poland believe that you are our salvation. It'll do something to you. That was just half of what he said. You can't stand all of it. But I'll tell you one thing. We monitor shortwave and we know what's taking place. You only get 10% of the news. If you went and you looked in a history book or at a museum where they had newspapers of the 2 days, including the very morning that the stock market collapsed, the paper said the Congress and the government and the president had everything under control. So don't believe the newspapers. Probably the day that the Antichrist takes the throne, they'll say the president's got everything under control, and about that day he will.
Amen.
Okay, I can only handle a couple more here, and then we're going to turn it over real quick. Do you have any comment on the coal strike?
Oh, yes.
I've never prayed, except that when Carter ran against Reagan. I don't think I've ever prayed so hard in my life for something not to happen. I have Christians around the country praying on that matter. The Illuminati almost jumped 2 years ahead of their schedule, and we didn't have the retreats ready. If the coal strike was to continue for 2 more months, 8 million people in the United States will be out of work. Now, when you put 8 million people out of work, you're going to have trouble. Real trouble. The only reason we don't have a depression in this country now, I think we do anyway, is because we have welfare. They didn't have welfare back then. This country's worse than it was in the 30s and the late 20s. Now, all I can tell you is this, that in Atlas Shrugged, their coal book for world takeover, they destroyed the coal mine. First, they destroyed the oil. Then when all the electric companies started switching over to generators run by coal, then they destroyed the coal. They plan on shutting the city completely off from everything. Fuel, electricity, gasoline, and food. I'm going to close with this. I'm sorry I couldn't handle all of them. It's just there's too many. I'm sorry. Don't lynch me for it. I want to close with this. I felt very very neat and very important, and that's this. They're going to make a strike happen. Now, I want to say something. When this takes place, it'll be too late to go to a retreat. They're going to cause a mass strike across the United States of the Teamsters. No trucks will move. Nothing will be shipped by truck in the United States for close to a year. During that year, or almost as long, nothing will be unloaded by ships because the longshoremen will go on strike. No airplanes will fly, not just because the pilots went on strike, but the air controllers went on strike. Only military planes will be in the air. Nothing will go by rail because, you need to watch for this, the bridges over the railroad tracks are going to start crumpling under the trains being blown up. More trains are going to be derailed to the point that whole towns are going to be wiped out by poisonous gases and explosions. They're picking these trains. It's already been proven. The one that killed so many people with chlorine gas down south was picked. They let the train hauling nothing go over just before it, and then they derailed this one. They know what is being shipped by trains and what's on the trains because they own the trains. Nothing is going to move. Now you ask yourself a question. If nothing is brought into the city from outside by shipping to the grocery stores, what are you going to buy in the grocery store? You're not. Even if the farmers go ahead and plant and don't go on strike, it doesn't really matter because there'll be no way to get the food to the grocery store. Now, if you don't think that's possible, you stop and think that all the small strikes that happened that paralyzed us in a little way. I can remember when nothing got unloaded by the longshoremen, and we didn't have a lot of goods in this area for a long time. I can remember when the Teamsters went on strike and nothing was moved, and we saw it just then. What happens if everybody goes on strike at one time? Every form of transportation ceases. You say, well, what about the cars? Well, how does the gasoline get to your station if the Teamsters don't move it? Then your cars don't move. Then the coal. Big deal, so the coal miners go back. If the Teamsters don't move the coal and the trains don't move it, you still aren't going to get any electricity. You think about it.
Patrick, it's all yours.
I'll give him a break until September.
Amen. Brother Todd will be back with us September 8th, 9th, and 10th.
If we don't all take off,
unless the Lord comes first, and then I won't be here, and I hope none of you will be. As I said last night, sometimes these things are very depressing. the Apostle Paul said it should be encouragement. He said the second coming of Christ is a blessed hope for the child of God. I look for the day the Lord comes, but I know, and I've long preached, that Christians in all likelihood are going to suffer much before that time. I believe it's an honor. I believe it's our privilege to live in this day, be missionaries, be evangelists in this day. As I said last evening, and I repeat this evening, the purpose of this meeting is not only to alert Christians, stir Christians' hearts, to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late, but to give you an opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your heart, advise you of your lost condition, and then for us to have the privilege of taking the Word of God and showing you how you can truly be born again. The Bible says without repentance there's no salvation. We see a lot of confusing things sweeping America today and even the world. The Bible's still the Word of God. One day each one of us will be judged according to this blessed book. We live in a day when there's a lot of easy believism. You walk the church aisle and shake the preacher's hand and get a few drops of water on your head and be immersed. You put your name on a church roll. But that doesn't make you a Christian. This evening, we're not trying to make a Baptist of you. We would like you to search your heart. Ask yourself this question. If I would die tonight, am I assured that I'd spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven? If you do not know that, you can know it. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know. You say, I've been taught otherwise. Let's put all you've been taught aside. March 25th, 1968, a man came to my home. I said, I'd like you to show me something out of the Bible. I've been told a lot. And he took the Word of God. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. I didn't understand that. Maybe it's a lost person tonight. You have no idea what we're talking about. Then he showed me the Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Folks can say a lot of things with their mouths. They can deceive even their own self sometimes, but it's what's in the heart. You receive Jesus Christ to your heart as your personal Savior. God will do the rest. That's your part. Somebody said, well, I'll do my part. The only thing you can do is come to him with a broken, repentant heart. The Apostle Peter said, repent and be converted. That's what you need to do. As we bow our heads and close our eyes and no one looking around, and Christians pray, let me ask you this. Do you know that you're a Christian? Some may say, well, how could I really know? How could I be sure? The Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature, recreated, made again of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Here's how you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt where you stand with the Lord tonight. If there's never been a changed life according to God's Word, not according to this preacher or any other preacher, according to God's Word, and that's the word you're going to be judged by. If you've never had the evidence of a changed life, you've never received Christ through a repentant heart. Now let me give you the verse again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I ask no one to look around, please cooperate with us. No one looking around out of curiosity. Has there been a time in your life where you were genuinely sorry? Not sorry you got caught, but sorry you'd sinned before a holy God, sinned against a holy God. And when you came to that God, to that repentant heart, and received his Son Jesus as your personal Savior, if you did, he changed you.
The Holy Spirit of God indwells you. He seals you. He'll never release you. But you can be certain, if there was a changed life, was there? If not, you need to come this evening. We'll have the preachers come. I'd like for them to come at this time. They'll be here at the front. They'll pray with you. They'll take their Bible, and they'll help you. They'll show you what God has to say. I reemphasize, not to make a Baptist of you, but to show you what God says, how you can be born again. You think about the terrible days that we have ahead. Say, my, it's frightening. My friend, it will not compare to a Christless hell. It will not compare to what you will undergo a million years from tonight in hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You may have came tonight out of curiosity, but God speaks to your heart. Would you receive Him? For your heart's tender. The Bible said when Christ returns, it'll be as in the days of Noah, as the days of Lot. In Noah's day, the ark door was opened. Noah gave the message, come, anyone in the world in that day could enter into the ark and be saved. The same thing's true this evening. The crucified Christ who died in your place, who paid with His own precious blood for your sin, stands with His arms open and said, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that same Christ says, I'll not turn you away. God's promise is, I will not turn you away. It matters not to God what you've done. He'll forgive the past. He said, I will not turn you away. But for those who reject Him, the Bible said one day, He'll say to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. He did not say, I knew you one time, and now I no longer know you. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me. The blessed Savior who paid the price will say to the rejecter, no longer come, but go away. You made your choice. Would you choose for Him tonight? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and Christians are praying. The preachers here on the platform praying. They're concerned for your soul's salvation. Each one of them is saved, walked an old-fashioned church aisle, and most of them knelt around an old-fashioned altar. But where was the church or home? Baptist church? A holiness church? No matter where it was, they all had to come the same way. Repent and receive Christ as Savior. They're concerned for you tonight. They love you. They want you to know the Savior they know. They want you to have an eternity in heaven with Him that they'll have and enjoy. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'd like the privilege, just before we stand together and sing, to pray for you. You're here and you say, preacher, I'm unsaved. There's never been the change in my life, and you are unsaved. Say, I've never had the change, but I am concerned. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you have the courage to raise your hand and say, preacher, I acknowledge that I'm unsaved, and I want you to pray for me. Lift your hand very quickly, and let me have the privilege of praying for you before we sing the invitation. Very quickly. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Folks, this is such a serious matter. Not to become a church member, not to be baptized, but to be born again. Not to become a Baptist. We don't want to make Baptists up. We're only Christians of you, and only God can do that. Let me have the privilege of praying for you. I'm going to pray that God will give you the courage to walk the aisle in just a moment. I'm going to pray God will not let you leave this auditorium and die in a Christless hell. But I would like to pray for you. Anyone else? Very quickly. I'm not sure, preacher, pray for me. How about that?
And he won't say, I'm just not sure. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Let me pray for you. God bless you. Yes. All right, I'll be back here. Anyone else? Just hold your hand up till I see it. Say, preacher, what's the importance of the hand? Well, it just depicts what's in the heart. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, lady. Anyone else? Want to be sure about this matter? Now let me do this. Perhaps we should have done it first of all. What about that Christian that's let Satan have the victory in their life? You haven't won a soul to Jesus and so on. Maybe you never have. You were genuinely converted. Your heart filled with joy. You hated sin. Now you've spent too much time in front of the television and not enough time in the Word. You've spent a lot of time gossiping about folks, but you haven't been talking to the Lord about them. You've been trying to handle your own problems. You can't handle them. You've got your life in a mess. You don't even care much about it tonight, maybe. Would you let me pray for you? Would you lift your hand, Christian? Say, I know I'm saved. I know I've received the Lord. If heads are bowed, I ask again. No one look around, please. Be fair to these that have a need. How about a Christian? God bless you. Yes, yes. God bless you. Any other Christian? God's speaking to your heart. Not this preacher. God's speaking to your heart. You know it. All right. Anyone else? God bless you. I see you in the back. Anyone else? All right. Okay, yes. God bless you. I believe here's what we ought to do. Yes, Lord bless you. Quickly. Another Christian. God's speaking to your heart. I think here's what we ought to do. I believe those Christians who need help, those Christians aren't living for God. I think you ought to slip out from where you're at and kneel around this altar. Get your heart right, and then we'll trust God to save these that are unsaved. We stand together. Those of you that are Christians, I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm going to pray for you, like I said. And we're going to stand together as we sing. Now, before we sing, I'm going to pray for you. I will hope, I trust, that each Christian that has a need find their way to this old-fashioned altar. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to give the invitation, trust God to save the lost. Let's stand together. Their heads bowed with their eyes closed. We join our hearts together in prayer. Christians, pray with me. Those of you that have a need, why don't you come ahead right now? Don't hold back. Come and kneel around this altar before I begin praying. Get everything right with God. While there may be a dozen people between you and that aisle, come on, that's it. Amen. Come on, Christian. We're not going to see unsaved folks saved here tonight till you get your heart right. You quench and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We'll be victory. That's it. Come on, hurry. Hurry on here. Some of you preachers, pray with me. Come on. Let's do it quickly. You know it's right. Say, preacher, you tricked me. I didn't trick you. You confess. Now God wants to give you the victory, and the devil wants to take it away from you. Our God and our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray you take this invitation time. Our God, I pray that you would just take complete control. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and over the power of the demon, and our God, over all the power of Satan. You said it's our victory if we'll just take it. And we claim that victory tonight in Jesus' precious name. I pray that you forgive these Christians about this altar. God, I pray for those that haven't had the courage to step out. But our Father, there's folks here tonight that are on their way to hell. And I ask you to save them for Jesus' sake. Our God, take control of this invitation. Lord, it's the most important part of this entire service. And we ask you to take control and glorify thy own Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Brother, what shall we say?
Just as I am.
Just as I am. Those of you that are unsaved, meet me here at the front. Let one of us take the word of God and win you to Jesus. Do it quickly.
Just as I am. Thank you.
just a moment, we're going to sing another verse. I don't know what else I can do for you. I believe it's somebody tonight that God just pulling on your heartstrings. Maybe he's speaking to you like he spoke to Judas. He said, you're going to die. You're going to split hell wide open. I believe when Judas got down to water to be baptized, the Holy Spirit of God said, Judas, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, Judas said, no, I think I'll go on later on. And he walked yet another day with the Lord Jesus. He came down to the garden and he never thought he'd ever get there. And he placed that kiss upon the cheek of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit must have said to him again, Judas, you're a traitor. Judas, you're going to die and go to hell. Judas said just a little later, and I want to repent. You know the story, and the Bible tells us tonight that Judas has been nearly 2,000 years in hell. It's real to him tonight. You stand here tonight and you say, well, I'm not too bad a person. Judas wasn't either. He was a good moral man. No record that he ever committed adultery. No record that he was a murderer. Judas was the kind of man that you'd been happy to live next door to. He'd have been a good neighbor. But Jesus said, you've got to be born again. You must. There's no option. You must be born again. My friend, your goodness will not get you through the gate of heaven. God's speaking to your heart tonight, and you're saying no. There'll be a day when he'll never speak to your heart again. Tonight, he brought you here for a purpose. You may not know why. You may think you just came to see the show. Maybe you came out of curiosity, but God brought you here to save you. Don't turn him away. One other verse, our brother, if no one else comes, we're going to close the invitation. Christian, are you grieving the Spirit of God? God's speaking to you, and you know what you ought to be doing. Some of you are linked up with liberals in the world. God's speaking to your heart, and you know what you ought to do. Won't you do it right now? Don't put it off in tomorrow. Do it right now. Tomorrow's not yours. Do it right now as we sing. I'd love to take this book. These preachers, any one of them would rejoice to take this blessed book and show you what God says. Till you have victory, till you go out of here a saved person tonight, the new lease on life. Only you can make the decision. God gave you the worst enemy you'll ever have, a self-will. Only you can decide. I don't know why he did it that way, but he did. I don't know why his blessed son died for you. You weren't worth it, and I wasn't either. But he did it that way. We must come. Here's why. One other verse. Close our eyes. Let's pray again. Two more have come. There's Christians here tonight that love God and stand here until morning. You'd come and get saved. There's Christians here that stay and pray all night. You'd get saved. There's Christians here tonight that do anything in this world to see other Christians get right with God. I believe the Lord's still moving. I believe he's still speaking. Christians, would you join your heart with me in just a few moments of silent prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. And Christians, lifting up their voice to God.
Let that, the Lord, save every lost person. The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will that anyone perish. It's his will that all be saved. Let's do our part. Let's be a surrendered Christian. Let's not grieve and quench the Spirit of God. Have an unsaved person go out of this building tonight and never be saved.
Brother Ringer, you come pray with us. Then we're going to say another verse again to say, if no one comes, we'll close the invitation. This is the most important part of the service, folks. I mean that with all my heart. This is the most important part of the service. Brother Reader, lead us, please.
Our Father, again, we're grateful, Lord, for what we've seen here. God, thank you for the need, Lord, been straightened out in the lives of these that have come tonight. Father, we pray for those that are still here and still need to come. We pray, dear God, for Christians, Lord, that need their lives straightened out, need to make you the Lord of their lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd deal with those hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, give them the courage to step out, say no to Satan, yes to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray for lost in here tonight. I pray, dear God, that you'd bring the lost.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray that you'd give them the courage to step out, admit their guilt, admit their sin, come and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. God, I pray for indifference that are here tonight. God, I pray that you'd remove the spirit of indifference from them. And I pray, God, that they would quit hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. And that God would see a real moving of the Holy Spirit right here in this service tonight.
Lord.
Now, Lord, you know every heart. And God, you know every need. And, oh, Lord, I pray that God, you'll deal mightily with these hearts tonight. Have your way. God bless as we continue this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One last verse, brother. Folks, I'm going to town. Do it now.
Glad that you came this evening. Brother Todd will have his tapes at the back. If you won't take the message tonight, we'll not have enough ready immediately following the service. We do have the message from last night and the questions and the message tonight. If you recorded the message tonight and would be so kind as to let us copy that, we have a high-speed duplicator. It'll take exactly 4 minutes. And we greatly appreciate it. This one kind lady here has allowed us already to copy hers. If we could get some others, if you've got a good, clear copy, not of the question and answer session, but of the message, of the previous, if you'd allow us to copy that, then we can choose the best one. And that way we can get this out. We sent out between 300 and 500 of the testimony tape, and we expect to send out about 1,200 to 1,500 of these. So you see, it's important for us to have a good copy. The dirty, low-down devil got into this thing tonight, but he's not going to be victorious. Amen? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Amen? Would you say that together with me? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Now think about it. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Lesser crowd that time. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. My friend, if you're a Christian, there's no mountain too high to climb.
If you don't want them, I'll take them home with me.
All right, just a moment. Wait a minute, we're not dismissed yet. Okay, the Todd's tapes are right here at the back. If you want the tapes of the other messages that we have, various other tapes, you go back here to your left and around. The ushers will direct you back to the church office. But if you do want the tapes mailed to you, or you have someone that you want them mailed to, if you'll see our folks back there tonight, our tapes are $2 a piece. That covers the mailing and all, and that covers the cost of them. And we'd appreciate that. If you can't afford the $2, we'll mail them anyway, but we would appreciate the gift. So we're glad that you came this evening. Brother, would you sing a dismissal song with us? I'm going to ask you not to mill around too much. Folks are being saved here at the front. And, you know, we get in such a big hurry. If you were at a ball game and they just gone into overtime, they couldn't drive you out with a shotgun. But Christian people are the most unusual people in the world. They'll start crowding the aisles 30 minutes before the message is over. Especially if they get to a clock. If they get used to the preacher, well, they'll just start crowding the aisle. Well, you've been in the presence of something tonight, whether you recognize it or not. We look for miracles. Anytime someone's born again into the family of God, it's the greatest miracle ever performed. So let's remember those things. We appreciate your coming. I hope you'll pray for the ministry of First Baptist Church. I hope you'll pray for Brother Todd and just continue to serve the Lord, and we'll look for his soon appearing. Hope that none of these things that we hear about happen, that he'll take us out first, but let's be ready for them. All right, sing with us, please, as we're dismissed. The rows in the back, the chairs, are we getting those gentlemen so folks can get out? The chairs were blocking the aisle. If we get those quickly while we're singing our dismissal, and then folks can get out easily.
Okay, we think the little chorus here, isn't he wonderful? If you know, sing along real loud. If you don't, like, you know, it's time to get here, and you can do it again, okay?
CIA and everybody else know about, but our work is not secret, otherwise I wouldn't come up here and say we were planning it. If an organization is good and it is Christian, then why must it be secret? Why must it not only be secret to the outsiders, but it must be secret between the levels of its own members, or to know what the other members are doing in higher levels? Now, I read last night from the highest Mason books in here that proclaim Jesus Christ, the God of evil, and Lucifer, the God of good, and they that proclaim the Masonic religion, a Luciferian belief, the Masonic religion, a Luciferian doctrine, by Mason's own mouth in their own book, that proclaim to be a 33rd degree Mason, not an honorary, but the initiate 33rd degree, you must commit human sacrifice. Now that is what the Shriners and the Eastern Star and Job's Daughters and everything else did. I gave symbols last night. You can go to Frisco, you can go to any church that is a functioning satanic church, and the emblem of the Satanist church is in the broken cross back there. There's an upside down star with 2 points symbolizing the horn god or the goat or Satan. This was created before the Masons ever existed, and this is their emblem. Their initiation rites are identical to those that I practice in witchcraft. Their secret ceremonial rites that we have seen in books are those identical to that I practice in witchcraft. Now, if you do the same thing a witch does, if you say the same thing a witch does, if your emblems are the same thing that a witch wears, tell me what the difference is. Give me a difference. Who is the Antichrist? I think we've covered that. How can you tell if a person is a witch? Well, since the Christians insist on living like witches and wearing the same jewelry and playing the same music, you have to look in their eyes. But then since Christians do the same things, oftentimes you get the same look in their eyes because they got the same demon. Since the look in the eyes is simply the demon. So I don't think there's much to do about it anymore. But what, by what procedure will the 666 card be distributed? By mail? How can you refuse mail? I do a pretty good job of it. I mean, when you get a package and there's no return address and it's a little bulky and lumpy and it ticks. Well, we've gotten a few of those. Bathtub gets filled with water real quick. I don't know how it's going to be distributed. They haven't said. I can only give you what. It's funny. I know all about these things. Nobody else hears them on the news. I don't know what's wrong with these people. Oh, I know what's wrong. Everybody's watching Laverne and Shirley. They never pay attention to the news. Now, I know that you're lied to a lot on the news, but if you pay attention, you can hear enough to know what's happening. I'll tell you something. If you doubt anything I say, and if you don't believe that the end times are close and the rapture is around the corner and all these things are going to happen, I used to say under 65, but I found out they just got five. If you have 179 spare dollars, you should give to the retreat. You can go down to Radio Shack and you can buy a shortwave receiver. Not one of these multi-band things that don't pick up anything, but this thing will pick up broadcasts anywhere in the world. And when you hear the man that's the head of the Baptist Church in Poland, that's the church, the government sanctioned. That's not the real Christian church. Stand up and say, Mr. President Carter, we as Christians in Poland believe that you are our salvation. It'll do something to you. That was just half of what he said. You can't stand all of it. But I'll tell you one thing. We monitor shortwave and we know what's taking place. You only get 10% of the news. If you went and you looked in a history book or at a museum where they had newspapers of the 2 days, including the very morning that the stock market collapsed, the papers said the Congress and the government and the president had everything under control. So don't believe the newspapers. Probably the day that the Antichrist takes the throne, they'll say the president's got everything under control, and about that day he will.
Amen.
Okay, I can only handle a couple more here, and then we're going to turn it over real quick. Do you have any comment on the coal strike?
Oh, yes.
I've never prayed, except that when Carter ran against Reagan. I don't think I've ever prayed so hard in my life for something not to happen. I have Christians around the country praying on that matter. The Illuminati almost jumped 2 years ahead of their schedule, and we didn't have the retreats ready. If the coal strike was to continue for 2 more months, 8 million people in the United States will be out of work. Now, when you put 8 million people out of work, you're going to have trouble. Real trouble. The only reason we don't have a depression in this country now, I think we do anyway, is because we have welfare. They didn't have welfare back then. This country's worse than it was in the 30s and the late 20s. Now, all I can tell you is this, that in Atlas Shrugged, their code book for world takeover, they destroyed the coal mine. First they destroyed the oil, then when all the electric companies started switching over to generators run by coal, then they destroyed the coal. They plan on shutting the city completely off from everything. Fuel, electricity, gasoline, and food. I'm going to close with this. I'm sorry I couldn't handle all of them. It's just too many. I'm sorry. Don't lynch me for it. I want to close with this. I felt very, very neat and very important. And that's this. They're going to make a strike happen. Now, I want to say something. When this takes place, it'll be too late to go to a retreat. They're going to cause a mass strike across the United States of the Teamsters. No trucks will move. Nothing will be shipped by truck in the United States for close to a year. During that year, or almost as long, nothing will be unloaded by ship because longshoremen will go on strike. No airplanes will fly, not just because the pilots went on strike, but the air controllers went on strike. Only military planes will be in the air. Nothing will go by rail, because you need to watch for this. The bridges over the railroad tracks are going to start crumpling under the trains being blown up. More trains are going to be derailed to the point that whole towns are going to be wiped out by poisonous gases and explosions. They're picking these trains. It's already been proven. The one that killed so many people with chlorine gas down south was picked. They let the train hauling nothing go over just before it, and then they derailed this one. They know what is being shipped by trains and what's on the trains, because they own the trains. Nothing is going to move. Now you ask yourself a question. If nothing is brought into the city from outside by shipping to the grocery store, what are you going to buy in the grocery store? You're not. Even if the farmers go ahead and plant and don't go on strike, it doesn't really matter, because there'll be no way to get the food to the grocery store. Now, if you don't think that's possible, you stop and think that all the small strikes that happened that paralyzed us in a little way. I can remember when nothing got unloaded by the longshoremen, and we didn't have a lot of goods in this area for a long time. I can remember when the Teamsters went on strike and nothing was moved, and we saw it just then. What happens if everybody goes on strike at one time? Every form of transportation ceases. You say, well, what about the car? Well, how does the gasoline get to your station if the Teamsters don't move it? Then your cars don't move. Then the coal. Big deal, so the coal miners go back. If the Teamsters don't move the coal and the trains don't move it, you still aren't going to get any electricity. You think about it. Pastor,
it's all yours.
I'll give him a break until September.
Amen. Brother Todd will be back with us September 8th, 9th, and 10th.
If we don't all take off, please.
Unless the Lord comes first, and then I won't be here, and I hope none of you will be. As I said last night, sometimes I say things are very depressing. The Apostle Paul said it should be encouragement. He said the second coming of Christ, the blessed hope, the child of God. I look for the day the Lord comes, but I know, and I've long preached, that Christians in all likelihood are going to suffer much before that time. I believe it's an honor. I believe it's our privilege to live in this day, be missionaries, be evangelists in this day. As I said last evening, and I repeat this evening, the purpose of this meeting, it's not only to alert Christians, stir Christians' hearts, to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late, but to give you an opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your heart, advise you of your lost condition, and then for us to have the privilege of taking the Word of God and showing you how you can truly be born again. The Bible says without repentance there's no salvation. We see a lot of confusing things sweeping America today and even the world. The Bible is still the Word of God. One day each one of us will be judged according to this blessed book. We live in a day when there's a lot of easy believism. You walk the church aisle and shake the preacher's hand, and get a few drops of water on your head and be immersed. You put your name on a church roll, but that doesn't make you a Christian. This evening we're not trying to make a Baptist of you. We would like you to search your heart. Ask yourself this question. If I would die tonight, am I assured that I'd spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven? If you do not know that, you can know it. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know. You say, I've been taught otherwise. Let's put all you've been taught aside. March 25th, 1968, a man came to my home. I said, I'd like you to show me something out of the Bible. I've been told a lot. And he took the Word of God. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. I didn't understand that. Maybe it's a lost person tonight. You have no idea what we're talking about. Then he showed me, the Bible said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus
and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Folks can say a lot of things with their mouths. They can deceive even their old self sometimes, but it's what's in the heart. You receive Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior. God will do the rest. That's your part. Somebody said, well, I'll do my part. The only thing you can do is come to him with a broken, repentant heart. The Apostle Peter said, repent and be converted. That's what you need to do. As we bow our heads and close our eyes and no one looking around, and Christians pray, let me ask you this. Do you know that you're a Christian? Some may say, well, how could I really know? How could I be sure? The Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature, recreated, made again of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Here's how you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt where you stand with the Lord tonight. If there's never been a changed life according to God's word, not according to this preacher or any other preacher, according to God's word, and that's the word you're going to be judged by. If you've never had the evidence of a changed life, you've never received Christ to a repentant heart. Now let me give you the verse again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I ask no one to look around, please cooperate with us. No one looking around out of curiosity. Has there been a time in your life where you were genuinely sorry? Not sorry you got caught, but sorry you'd sinned before a holy God, sinned against a holy God. And when you came to that God, to that repentant heart, and received his Son Jesus as your personal Savior, if you did, he changed you. The Holy Spirit of God indwelt you. He sealed you. He'll never release you. But you can be certain if there was a changed life. Was there? If not, you need to come this evening. We'll have the preachers come. I'd like for them to come at this time. They'll be here at the front. They'll pray with you. They'll take their Bible, and they'll help you. They'll show you what God has to say. I reemphasize, not to make a Baptist of you, but to show you what God says, how you can be born again. You think about the terrible days that we have ahead. Say, my, it's frightening. My friend, it will not compare to a Christless hell. It will not compare to what you will undergo a million years from tonight in hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You may have came tonight out of curiosity, but God speaks to your heart. If you receive him, for your heart's tender, the Bible said when Christ returns, it'll be as in the days of Noah and as the days of Lot. In Noah's day, the ark door was opened. Noah gave the message, come, anyone in the world in that day could enter into the ark and be saved. The same thing's true this evening. The crucified Christ who died in your place, who paid with his own precious blood for your sin, stands with his arms open and says, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that same Christ says, I'll not turn you away. God promises, I will not turn you away. It matters not to God what you've done. He'll forgive the past. He said, I will not turn you away. But for those who reject him, the Bible said one day, he'll say to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity.
for I never knew you. He did not say, I knew you one time, and now I no longer know you. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me. The blessed Savior who paid the price. He said to the rejecter, no longer come, but go away. You made your choice. Would you choose for him tonight? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and Christians are praying. The preacher's here on the platform praying. They're concerned for your soul's salvation. Each one of them is saved, walked in old-fashioned church aisle, and most of them knelt around an old-fashioned altar. But where was the church or home? Baptist church? A holiness church? No matter where it was, they all had to come the same way. Repent and receive Christ as Savior. They're concerned for you tonight. They love you. They want you to know the Savior they know. They want you to have an eternity in heaven with Him that they'll have and enjoy. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'd like the privilege, just before we stand together and sing, to pray for you. You're here and you say, Preacher, I'm unsaved. There's never been the change in my life, and you are unsaved. Say, I've never had the change, but I am concerned. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you have the courage to raise your hand and say, Preacher, I acknowledge that I'm unsaved, and I want you to pray for me. Let your hand very quickly, and let me have the privilege of praying for you before we sing the invitation. Very quickly. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Folks, this is such a serious matter. Not to become a church member, not to be baptized, but to be born again. Not to become a Baptist. We don't want to make Baptists up. We want to make Christians of you. And only God can do that. Let me have the privilege of praying for you. I'm going to pray that God will give you the courage to walk the aisle in just a moment. I'm going to pray God will not let you leave this auditorium and die in a Christless hell. But I would like to pray for you. Anyone else? Very quickly. I'm not sure, Preacher. Pray for me. How about that? Anyone say, I'm just not sure. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Let me pray for you. God bless you. Yes. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry about here. Anyone else? Just hold your hand up till I see it. Say, Preacher, what's the importance of the hand? Well, it just depicts what's in the heart. Yes. Yeah. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, lady. Anyone else? Want to be sure about this matter? Now let me do this. Perhaps we should have done it first of all. What about that Christian that's let Satan have the victory in their life? You haven't won a soul to Jesus in so long. Maybe you never have. You were genuinely converted. Your heart filled with joy. You hated sin. Now you've spent too much time in front of the television and not enough time in the Word. You spent a lot of time gossiping about folks, but you haven't been talking to the Lord about them. You've been trying to handle your own problems. You can't handle them. You've got your life in a mess. You don't even care much about it tonight, maybe. Would you let me pray for you? Would you lift your hand, Christian? Say, I know I'm saved. I know I've received the Lord. If heads are bowed, I ask again. No one look around, please. Be fair to these that have a need. How about a Christian? God bless you. Yeah, yeah. God bless you. Any other Christian? God's speaking to your heart. Not just preachers. God's speaking to your heart. You know it. All right. Anyone else? God bless you. I see you in the back. Anyone else? All right. Okay, yes. God bless you. I believe here's what we all do. Yes, Lord bless you. Quickly. Another Christian. God's speaking to your heart. I think here's what we ought to do. I believe those Christians who need help, those Christians aren't living for God. I think you'll slip out from where you're at and kneel around this altar, get your heart right, and then we'll trust God to save these that are unsaved. We stand together. those of you that are Christians, I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm going to pray for you, like I said. But we're going to stand together as we sing. Not before we sing. I'm going to pray for you. I will hope, I trust that each Christian that has a need find their way to the full-fashioned altar. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to give the invitation, trust God to save the lost. Let's stand together. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, we join our hearts together in prayer. Christians, pray with me. Those of you that have a need, why don't you come ahead right now? Don't hold back. Come and kneel around this altar before I begin praying. Get everything right with God. While there may be a dozen people between you and that aisle, come on, that's it, amen. Come on, Christian. We're not going to see unsaved folks saved here tonight till you get your heart right. You quench and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We'll be victory. That's it. Come on, hurry. Hurry on here. Some of you preachers, pray with me. Come on. Let's do it quickly. You know it's right. Say, preacher, you tricked me. I didn't trick you. You confess. Now God wants to give you the victory, and the devil wants to take it away from you. Our God and our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray you take this invitation time. Our God, I pray that you would just take complete control. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and over the power of the demon, and our God, over all the power of Satan. You said it's our victory if we'll just take it, and we claim that victory tonight in Jesus' precious name. I pray that you forgive these Christians about this altar. God, I pray for those that haven't had the courage to step out. But our Father, there's folks here tonight that are on their way to hell, and I ask you to save them for Jesus' sake. Our God, take control of this invitation. Lord, it's the most important part of this entire service, and we ask you to take control and glorify thy own Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Brother, what shall we say?
Just as I am.
Just as I am. Those of you that are unsaved, meet me here at the front. Let one of us take the word of God and win you to Jesus. Do it quickly.
Just as I am.
Just a moment, we're going to sing another verse. I don't know what else I can do for you. I believe that somebody tonight that God just pulling on your heartstrings. Maybe he's speaking to you like he spoke to Judas. He said you're going to die and you're going to split hell wide open. I believe when Judas got down to the water to be baptized, the Holy Spirit of God said, Judas, you're going to die and go to hell. Judas said, no, I think I'll go on later on. He walked yet another day with the Lord Jesus. He came down to the garden and he never thought he'd ever get there. And he placed that kiss upon the cheek of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit must have said to him again, Judas, you're a traitor. Judas, you're going to die and go to hell. Judas said just a little later, and I want to repent. You know the story, and the Bible tells us tonight that Judas has been nearly 2,000 years in hell. It's real to him tonight. You stand here tonight and you say, well, I'm not too bad a person. Judas wasn't either. He was a good moral man. No record that he ever committed adultery. No record that he was a murderer. Judas was the kind of man that you'd been happy to live next door to. He'd have been a good neighbor. But Jesus said, you've got to be born again. You must. There's no option. You must be born again. My friend, your goodness will not get you through the gate of heaven. God's speaking to your heart tonight. And you're saying, no, there'll be a day when he'll never speak to your heart again. Tonight, he brought you here for a purpose. You may not know why. You may think you just came to see the show. Fred, you came out of curiosity, but God brought you here to save you. Don't turn him away. One other verse, our brother. If no one else comes, we're going to close the invitation. Christian, are you grieving the Spirit of God? God's speaking to you, and you know what you ought to be doing. Some of you are linked up with liberals in the world. God's speaking to your heart, and you know what you ought to do. Won't you do it right now? Don't put it off in tomorrow. Do it right now. Tomorrow's not yours. Do it right now, as we sing. I'd love to take this book. These preachers, any one of them, would rejoice to take this blessed book and show you what God says. Till you have victory, till you go out of here a saved person tonight. The new lease on life. Only you can make the decision. God gave you the worst enemy you'll ever have. A self-will. Only you can decide. I don't know why he did it that way, but he did. I don't know why his blessed son died for you. You weren't worth it, and I wasn't either. But he did it that way. It must come. Here's why. One other verse. Close our eyes. Let's pray again. Two more have come. There's Christians here tonight that love God that stand here until morning. You'd come and get saved. There's Christians here that stay and pray all night. You'd get saved. There's Christians here tonight that do anything in this world to see other Christians get right with God. I believe the Lord's still moving. I believe he's still speaking. Christians, would you join your heart with me in just a few moments of silent prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. And Christians, lifting up their voice to God. Let's ask the Lord to save every lost person. The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will that anyone perish. It's his will that all be saved. Let's do our part. Let's be a surrendering Christian. Let's not grieve and quench the Spirit of God. Have an unsaved person go out of this building tonight and never be saved. Brother Ringer, you come pray with us. Then we're going to say another verse. I gotta say, if no one comes, we'll close the invitation. This is the most important part of the service, folks. I mean that with all my heart. This is the most important part of the service. Brother Reader, lead us, please.
Father, again, we're grateful, Lord, for what we've seen here. God, thank you for the need, Lord, in straightening out the lives of these that come tonight. Father, we pray for those that are still here and still need to come. We pray, dear God, for Christians, Lord, that need their lives straightened out, need to make you the Lord of their life. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd deal with those hearts.
Yes.
Oh, God, give them the courage to step out, say no to Satan, yes to Jesus. Yes. Lord, I pray for lost in here tonight. I pray, dear God, that you'd bring the lost.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you'd give them the courage to step out, admit the guilt, admit the sin, come and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. God, I pray for indifference that are here tonight. God, I pray that you'd remove the spirit of indifference from them. And I pray, God, that
that they would quit hindering the work of the Holy Spirit, and that God would see a real moving of the Holy Spirit right here in this service tonight.
Lord.
Now, Lord, you know every heart, and God, you know every need. And, oh, Lord, I pray that God, you'll deal mightily with these hearts tonight. Have your way. God bless as we continue this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
One last verse, brother.
Oh, I'm going to sound.
Do it now.
Glad that you came this evening. Brother Todd will have his seats at the back. If you won't take the message tonight, we'll not have enough ready immediately following the service. We do have the message from last night and the questions and the message tonight. If you recorded the message tonight and would be so kind as to let us copy that, we have a high-speed duplicator. It'll take exactly 4 minutes. And we greatly appreciate it. This one time lady here has allowed us already to copy hers. If we could get some others, if you've got a good, clear copy, not of the question and answer session, but of the message, of the previous, if you'd allow us to copy that, then we can choose the best one. And that way we can get this out. We've sent out between 300 and 500 of the testimony tape, and we expect to send out about 1,200 to 1,500 of these. So you see, it's important for us to have a good copy. The dirty, low-down devil got into this thing tonight, but he's not going to be victorious. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Amen? Would you say that together with me? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Now think about it. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Lesser crowd that time. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. My friend, if you're a Christian, there's no mountain too high to climb.
Any kind of children, father,
aunt,
or older, your children are
downstairs. So
I'll go to the front door here,
downstairs,
and come to
the
back.
Your children are back. If you don't want them, I'll take them home to sleep. All right, just a moment. Wait a minute, we're not dismissed yet. Okay, the Todd's tapes are right here at the back. If you want the tapes of the other messages that we have, various other tapes, you go back here to your left and around. The ushers will direct you back to the church office. But if you do want the tapes mailed to you, or you have someone that you want them mailed to, if you'll see our folks back there tonight, our tapes are $2 a piece. That covers the mailing and all. And that covers the cost of them, and we'd appreciate that. If you can't afford the $2, we'll mail them anyway, but we would appreciate the gift. So we're glad that you came this evening. Brother, would you sing a dismissal song with us? I'm going to ask you not to mill around too much. Folks are being saved here at the front. And, you know, we get in such a big hurry. If you were at a ball game and they just gone into overtime, they couldn't drive you out with a shotgun. But Christian people are the most unusual people in the world. They'll start crowding the aisle 30 minutes before the message is over. Especially if they can get to a clock. If they can get used to the preacher, well, they'll just start crowding the aisle. Well, you've been in the presence of something tonight, whether you recognize it or not. We look for miracles. Anytime someone's born again into the family of God, it's the greatest miracle ever performed. So let's remember those things. We appreciate your coming. I hope you'll pray for the ministry of First Baptist Church. I hope you'll pray for Brother Todd. And just continue
to serve the Lord, and we'll look for his soon appearing. Hope that none of these things that we hear about happen, he'll take us out first, but let's be ready for them. All right, stand with us, please, as we're dismissed. The rows in the back, the chairs, are we getting those gentlemen so folks can get out? The chairs were blocking the aisle. If we get those quickly while we're singing our dismissal, and then folks can get out easily.
Okay, we think the little chorus here isn't really wonderful. You know, sing along real loud, and you don't like you know the time we get here, and you may do it again, okay?